I feel like I own half of Baton Rouge now. I took her to the vet yesterday. But seriously, you know, on the way over here, Tricia was driving, and I had her puppy sitting in my lap, and my little puppy was down on the floor, and so I reached to get my little puppy, and she's very protective, and she thought she was biting Trisha's dog, but she bit me. And I got a shredded finger here. So it's those kind of things. And then we had an automobile accident I did after I got here Friday in the post office down somewhere off of Causey down here. So that took away. And you can ask any preacher or teacher or a missionary, whatever you want to do. And whenever you've got something really important to say, Satan works his best ways to try to keep you from saying it. I don't know who this is addressed to, but I would definitely pay attention to it, because there's a lot of adversity, just like he got through talking about Mark. Without any further delay, go to 2 Timothy, would you please, chapter 3. I want to read some scriptures before we really get involved here. Today's title is going to be, Sin is Not Taken Seriously Anymore. And it isn't. You know, I was here 2 years ago and I talked about the saints and the ain'ts, and that's still true today. That's not what this message is about. But if you're not saved in the body of Christ, then you're an ain't. You're condemned and you're going to hell. And we don't want to see that. Nobody in this room wants to see anybody going to hell. That's a fact. Let's read chapter 3 of 2 Timothy verse 16. All, that word is encompassing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's an instruction. That's a teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How about going over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, Peter writes, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That includes anything that I say, anything any pastor in here has said this week. There is no private interpretation of the Scriptures. The King James Bible is the absolute, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And take it to the bank. Now, if you would, let's start our service off with Romans chapter 5. We got a lot to go through. I remember a couple of years ago, Mark was over here and he was saying, I wish that guy'd shut up. He's just going on and on and on and on. And so somebody's going to have to stop me probably. Romans chapter 5, let's start in verse 12. Paul writes, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. That word all again is encompassing all men. For that all have sinned. Did you know you'd sinned? We're going to find out a little bit more about this. Go over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. We know that in verse 7, God created man dust, out of dust in the air and breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life. And he put him in a garden. But in verse 16, he says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17 is where I want to go. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He died spiritually right on the moment, and then he died within a day. Go over to 2 Peter again, please. Chapter 3. Just trying to establish some things to begin with. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Peter writes here, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years at one day. That's why I know he died within the day. Now, go back over to Romans, if you would. Chapter 5 again. This is not a futility in going for how many verses we can go to for a Genesis world record. We just need to see what the book says. Romans chapter 5, and I want to go to verse 17. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man, that's Adam again, your great, great, great granddaddy, for by one man's offense death reigned by one. Go to verse 8. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That word all again is all inclusive. Everybody is into condemnation. You're a natural individual. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. If you would, please go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is just a little background just to show you what we're talking about. Verse 22. Sin is not taken seriously anymore. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in who? Adam, all die. I'm going to stop there because that's what I'm talking about right now. For as Adam, all die. Go to Romans chapter 3. Sin, wickedness, that's where we're headed. Romans chapter 3. verse 10. This is you I'm talking about. This is me I'm talking about. This is your grandmother, your children. This is all of you, your friends. This is the entire world. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's all inclusive again. There is no righteousness in this world of your own accord. Absolutely not. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it, you will believe all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, one of the major problems, and I had it, I watched Roger Flippo. I don't know if he's in here today, but he had it for 20 years. Roger set out at the swimming pool at the Holiday Inn 2 years ago. This is three conferences ago, and set out there and give me his testimony. I said, wow, what a testimony. Really, when somebody gives you a testimony, you better just continue to ask questions. Praise the Lord. But I actually believe Roger was saved when he gave it to me. And I believe most people did, including all the pastors in here. But he told me his testimony. It was a worthy testimony. He had a date and a time and the day of the week. I don't even have that. I was saved in April of 1986. But I pretty well got it down, but I don't know what day of the week it was. But see, we have the people who are really saved into the body of Christ. We have a know-so salvation. It's not a think-so. It's not a hope-so. It's I know-so. It's a firm thing. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. I can't get out of it if I started going and believing in Islam, which would be an idiotic thing to do. I can't get out of the body of Christ. I'm sealed. Man, verse 11, Romans chapter 3, verse 11. There is none that understandeth. Do you think you understand anything? It says there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. I wouldn't. All I wanted to do, and I heard one of the preachers up here, I think it was Jack, he said, I just wanted to be saved from hell. It was me. I didn't want to go to hell. But nobody could tell me how to keep from going to hell till I saw Brother Moore on television. I'd walked the aisle for Jesus and did everything I could, got on all the boards and I knew I was lost, and that's a bad feeling. Knowing I'd done everything that mankind can tell me without going to the King James Bible, rightly dividing it to tell me how to keep myself out of hell. And when I saw that, I just didn't believe how simple it was, guys. Brother Moore put it out there on his television ministry, and I just spent 2 years trying to prove him wrong. And I found out that he was right, and thank God that he was, because I'm saved, sealed, and I'm going to be delivered. Now, would you go to Psalm chapter 4? This old book has got some good wisdom in it. I want to start in verse 1. We're going to read the first three verses. Psalm 14. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You ever had somebody tell you there's not a God? Oh, yeah. He's a fool. The Bible just told me that. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There's that word again. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone out of the way. Gone aside, I'm sorry. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There it is. No, not one. That's all inclusive again. Verse 12, and I wanted you to see it. They're all gone out of the way. We just found out where Paul got it. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know what that is? That's where you bury somebody. Can you imagine the stench? It's an open sepulcher where their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Go back over to Psalm 5. Remember, sin is not taken seriously anymore in this world. My problem was, I wouldn't humble myself. I wouldn't abase myself. I wanted to help the Lord do something to help save me. Just a little bit. But I recognize now, if I could have done just one thing to help him, Jesus Christ died in vain. You know, who am I to supplant God's plan and purpose? God didn't have it figured out. Oh, yes, he did. Through his foreknowledge, he knew everything that we were going to be doing. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. You know anybody like that? If you don't, look in the mirror. That's what it is. Let's keep on reading in verse 14 of Romans chapter 3. Whose mouth is full of cursing. You ever cursed? And bitterness. I've been bitter. I've cursed. And if you're saying you hadn't, You're lying. Now, verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Their destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. For there is no fear of God before their eyes. Like I said, sin is not taken seriously anymore. If they were, they would be fear in their eyes. They'd be fear in your eyes. But sin is not taken seriously anymore. I see what people do on a daily basis. And you're looking at the number one sinner in the world. It's alive today anyway. I just happen to be a saved sinner. Do I feel horrible about being a sinner? Yes, I do. And we're going to get to that. Believe me, we will get to that. Because you need to understand that. People have a conflict with that. Go to Isaiah 59, please. Isaiah 59. There's three verses in here I want to read, but verse 2 is what I want to go to first. Isaiah 59, 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Did you know your thoughts were thoughts of iniquity? Wasting and destruction are in their past. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. My God, we're just despicable human beings. In the natural state, we're headed to hell. In the eternal state of condemnation. But now we're going to get to something, and I might as well just draw it on the board right now. This is the essence of everything. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's where we're headed. We're going to talk about just how evil and despicable and wicked we all are, but we're going to talk about the saving power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is what? His crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection on the third day for your justifications, as it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. For your justification, he cleared you of all sins. He pardoned you. It never happened. You're cleared. But we're going to hear. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 15. Yes, we can use all kind of scriptures as applications. I know Romans through Philemon's written directly to us. Let's see what Jesus Christ was telling these Pharisees and scribes in Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 15. I want to go up to verse 18. But those things, this is what Christ said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Your heart is evil, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. I know this is redundant, but go to Mark chapter 7. Let's go to verse 20, because there's a few other things that I didn't get to. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, that's Christ, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, there's the heart again of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, and the bad one, pride and foolishness. Is that pretty heavy? Listen, verse 23. All of them, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. We're talking mankind, ladies. We ain't just talking about a man. We're talking everybody. So don't think you got off the hook. People say, well, you know, there's a little good in the worst of an individual, and there's a little bad in the best of an individual. But you know what? That statement doesn't hold any water there. Because that's the doctrine of depravity. I call it total depravity. Depravity, what is depravity? I'm depraved, and I'm looking at everybody in here that is. You say, well, I didn't come to this conference to hear just how bad I am. Yes, you need to know how bad you are, because how are you going to ever get to the point of humbling yourself to have a Savior that died for you and you not accept and trust His shed blood? You're going to have to come to your knee. You're going to have to humble yourself, but you need to know that you need a Savior because you're despicable and you're no good. You can't do anything in the natural body, in the natural state, that can please God. So, depravity, wickedness. This means, I believe, everyone in here is wicked. You're corrupt. We've got the innate evil of unregenerate men, mankind, in us. Each and every individual in here. And when you add total to that, that's all encompassing. That means there is no good about you, or me, or anyone in this world. Not one iota, not a fingernail, not a hair's worth. Nothing is good about a natural man. How about going to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. verse 14. And this is what I got through telling you, but I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are, what? Spiritually discerned. You cannot understand anything in this Bible. Oh, you can read the words, you can pronounce them, but you cannot understand them until you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because at that moment, the Holy Spirit sets up residence. He indwells you. You no longer are walking in the flesh. You're walking in the Spirit, as in Romans 8. You are walking in the Spirit. But there's a wrestling going on. The Spirit's wrestling against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit, and they're contrary one to the other. If you don't have it, you're probably not saved. Because I guarantee you, I got it. You ask the saved person in here, if he tells you he's saved, he's got it. He's got it. Believe me. Go back to Psalm 58, would you? This is a very hard one to want to swallow here. But I believe it. I know it to be the truth because there's no mistakes in this book. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's all of us, guys, right from the womb. Whew, that's hard to suck up, but it's true. If you want to believe the Bible, you're going to have to believe just what it said right there where it said it. Go over to Genesis chapter 6, would you? I know you know these things. Let's just put it in context. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You know what? It ain't changed. Was wickedness in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's the same way today. It's exactly the same way today. Go over to Genesis chapter 8. Let's see what happened after the flood. Noah was out there and he set up an altar and he was making some sacrifices. He had some burnt offerings going on. In verse 21, Genesis 8, 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for anymore for man's sake. Here's where I wanted to go with it. For the imagination, your imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. But the whole point I wanted you to see out there, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It's not that you planned it. It's just that way. It's just that way. Man is undone and he's spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. He's without strength. You're exposed, if you're this natural man, to the wrath of God. And believe me, it's coming on. Someone in here mentioned Luke 16 and the rich man and Lazarus. There's a real hell, guys. Some people don't believe in hell. They're going to find out what it's really like. Just like that individual I was witnessing to said, if I've ever sinned, then I'll meet God head on and I'll take my punishment. Well, you go ahead and do that. I don't want a part of it. I burnt myself on the stove. I know how bad that hurts. I mean, it's really bad. We're worthless and we're rotten and we don't have in our own righteousness. That's what we try to place ourselves in. The stuff we do good, like helping the old lady across the street when she don't want to go, when she needs to go because we need to help her. We need a good work. We need to confess our sins and do all these things. We need to turn a new leaf over to help ourselves. Oh, come on. Give me a break. You can clean up your act all you want to. If you ain't trusted Jesus Christ, you're still going to hell. So it's nice to clean it up. Your life will be much simpler. It'll be better. But the end result is going to be the same unless you've trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There is no getting around it, guys. Oh, we're prone to evil. Children are. And you know, I know that youth is the future of this grace movement. You don't see a whole lot of us. But then when I see younger kids, and I saw some sitting here, this gentleman right here has got three in here. It's great to see this. They're being taught. They have to be taught because they're wicked from the womb. They have to be taught right and wrong. It just beats all I've ever seen. I've got friends of mine that says, well, you know, I never spank my children. I just sit down and talk to them. And they just were just little darlings. Well, no, they weren't. They didn't learn anything. They had no discipline. It's what it is. Jesus Christ, in the horrible treatment that happened on that cross when he was scourged and beat beyond any kind of form of recognition, worse than any human being ever, he died for your sins up there. And you know, he was rejected then by his people. And he's being rejected today all over Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And all over the United States. And all over the entire world. He's still being rejected. How about going over to Romans chapter 7? I want to go to verse 24. is what the greatest apostle that ever set foot on this earth said about himself. He'd been preaching the gospel of Christ at this point in time. He'd been getting men saved through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ's gospel that he gave him. And he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." I can look at myself. I don't even have to. I think about it. "O wretched man that I am." And if there's a saved individual in here that doesn't say that to themselves, check your faith, because you are a wretched individual. Paul, the greatest apostle, was the first in the body. And he is our pattern that we're supposed to follow. The risen Savior gave him the information that he wanted to partake unto the people in the dispensation of the grace of God. And now we're supposed to follow him. And he called himself, "O wretched man that I am." Back up to verse 17. "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Whatever it is that he was doing. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Well, I know how to perform good, but we don't want to, do we? If it feels good, we like doing it. If it tastes good, we like doing it. Sin is not taken seriously anymore. We see people sin and we kind of laugh it off. I see it all the time. We just laugh it off. And then pretty soon, we start doing some of those same things. It's like a young child seeing his daddy. There's a song about like that's out there. It is kind of what I'm going to talk about. Is his daddy? He watched his daddy. He loved his daddy. And pretty soon that little kid come up to his dad and said some kind of curse word to him. And it wasn't in malice, but he had heard his dad. "Where'd you hear that, son?" "Why? Well, I want to be like you, Dad. I heard it from you." Well, that's what we do. Once we see people sinning, and if we don't say something about it, then we start getting complacent and we garner or gather those attributes to us. And then pretty soon our friends, they start going that way. If you're saved, you're still saved. But are you a good example for the man who walked around Jerusalem and Galilee and died on that cross for you? Are you a good witness for Jesus Christ? I wouldn't think so. We should all be examples. Are you going to quit sinning? No, you're not. But for those people in here right now that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you need to do that. Not for me, not for anybody in this room. Doesn't do me any good as far as popularity, but I don't want to see anybody go to hell. And I know that's where I was headed, and if I can head there wanting not to go, right now, you've heard somebody this whole weekend, you've heard a numerous amount of preachers talking to you about how not to go there, how simple it is to trust Jesus Christ. I said trust. I didn't say believe, because I was a lost believer. I believed that Christ walked around on the earth like the Bible says. I believe he was hung up on this cross and crucified. I did. There's never been a day that I didn't know that. I knew that he was buried, and I knew that he was raised from the dead on the third day. But when it come to that justification thing, I didn't know what that was. I didn't make it personal with myself. I just believed it. Yeah, well, that's what it says. I did not take it seriously. I wanted to, just didn't know how to, didn't have any instruction on how to. But the Holy Spirit put it on me for many, many years, and I fought it, kicked it around. And it's kind of like what Roger said when he was on that operating table. If he'd, "Hey, I'm saved, go ahead and let's just get that operation. Give me what you got to have. If I die, then I'm going to heaven." I didn't know that, though. But on that note, I want to express this. We've got at Jack's conference this last 2 years ago, we had a young girl that goes to our assembly. She was there. She supposedly got saved at 10 years old in a Baptist church in Michigan. And her husband, he claimed salvation. I don't have any doubt about that. But she claimed salvation at 10. She was 30. The night that Obed Kirkpatrick preached up there on hell, the first night she went back to her room, and her husband was praying, she realized she was lost. After 20 years, if she'd have died, she'd have went to hell. She'd have never had any peace, she said. She's got total peace now. That's a joyous individual. She has got peace that she knows she's not going to hell any longer. So then that's what happened to Roger. He knows he's not headed there any longer. Go over to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. This is what we are. "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth," evil mouth. He winketh with us his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. Evil is in our heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Go down to verse 17. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, we could go over to Jeremiah, we can go over there and we can see in Isaiah 64, about the heart is despicable and desperately wicked. We know those things. But one more time, I want to tell you this, because you can preach all day long and just continually, because this Bible is the most wonderful thing that God ever put out here, because this is God speaking directly to you, and it's God speaking directly to me. He didn't come down and whisper something in my ear. But there's something happened, as we all know, in AD 33, thereabouts. The man, the God, one and the same. God manifest in the flesh, came down, was born of a virgin, and he died in AD 33. But he died for your sins. Someone was speaking, I think it was yesterday, about, yeah, he died for Peter's sins. No doubt about it. They're going to get theirs in Acts chapter 19, chapter 3, verse 19, 20, and 21. It's the second coming. We got ours right now. The moment that we trusted Jesus Christ, we looked at a cross, we have in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, we have our atonement right now. We don't have to wait for it. What is so wonderful about it, if you've got a 99-year-old man, woman sitting in here right now that's never been saved, and then on their deathbed, they trust Jesus Christ, truly do. Right this moment, they've got all the same spiritual blessings in heaven that I got back in 1986 or some of you got back in 1925. And I ain't talking about your age. Age has nothing to do with your spiritual blessing. So, can I explain it? Yes, I can. It's the plan and purpose of God Almighty. Nothing that I can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. All we do is preach the truth of the King James Bible. And that's what I have for you today. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave this room without it. Thank you, guys.